Live from County Sligo Golf Club, the Connolly Motor Group West of Ireland Championship on Ocean FM.
Well, a very good evening and welcome to County Sligo Golf Club in Ross's Point. This is Austin O'Callaghan and this is the night before the real fun begins. The 2024 Connolly's Motor Group West of Ireland Championship, and we are live from the Members Lounge at County Sligo Golf Club, which overlooks the 18th green. I can't see a lot of it right now. That's the first thing to say, because dusk has fallen here. It is dark, although this time last night we might have seen some mechanical lighting and smartphones and torches, because they were finishing off final qualifying for the 2024 Connolly Motor Group West of Ireland. We'll talk more about that a little bit later on. Over the next three quarters of an hour, we're going to set the scene for the 101st Connolly Motor Group West of Ireland. 120 golfers will tee it up tomorrow morning, including several past winners. Hugh Foley is here from 2021. Barry Anderson is here from 2017. Joe Lyons will never retire playing golf. He's here as well to try and win back the West of Ireland Championship and more, lots beside. And we'll do that in the company of a selection of guests who are here with us live in the Members Lounge, and a few who want to be here but can't be here in 2024, but we spoke to them earlier today, including last year's champion James Claridge from England, who won't be back to defend the prestigious West of Ireland trophy, but we'll hear from him a little bit later in the programme. We will be following the West of Ireland two rounds of qualifying stroke play tomorrow and Saturday, and then the return of the traditional last 64 match play on Sunday morning, and we're into the knockout stages Sunday morning and afternoon, Easter Monday morning and afternoon, and of course the semi-finals and final on Tuesday. Let me introduce you to who's with us here this evening. Downstairs, the assistant pro at County Sligo, a Kildare man, Ben O'Dowd, who will share his thoughts with us for a few moments during the course of the programme. Ben, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Looking forward to the next 5 days?
Yeah, really looking forward to it. It's already a bit of a buzz around here already. Probably the best week of the year to be around here.
Very good. I want you to pretend you're at Mammy Johnson's ice cream shop in Strandhill at the Cannon and hold that microphone nice and close to your mouth. Perfect. Okay. Kevin Flanagan needs no introduction, a member of the West of Ireland Championship Committee. Are you still chair of that committee?
Co-chair. Jimmy Duggan from Golf Ireland.
Okay. So looking forward to what's ahead.
Yeah, I really am. Yeah, it's great. And great to have so many locals involved. And it's great that we've returned to the traditional format. I think it's added a bit of buzz to the
place. Well, I will definitely have a chat about that in a few moments. Mark McGowan from irishgolfer.ie is here as well. He'll be he has the sleeping bag and the tent set up for the next 5 days, Mark.
Yeah, it's a busy few days. It's a busy few days, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah. What are you looking forward to over the next few days?
Well, anytime you get to see like some of the best golfers in the country, best amateur golfers in the country, taking on one of the best golf courses in the country, I mean, it's, you can't really look forward to much more than that. We have a great field this year. We've several past champions, as you mentioned. It's always one of the best weekends of the year. It's always one of the best tournaments of the year, and there's no reason why this year is going to be any different.
Yeah, well, we'll talk a little bit more a little bit later on. And of course, the West of Ireland on Ocean FM wouldn't be the West of Ireland on Ocean FM without our main wingman, who'll be on course providing commentary from Easter Sunday onwards, along with others. I don't know how we describe him. A cross between Butch Harmon, a former player in the West of Ireland.
Thank you.
That's the first thing to say. Is the other Rob Fitzpatrick in the field tomorrow?
I am rooting for that man so much. Could you imagine? Actually, he's gone with his full title of Robert Fitzpatrick. Before we talk about him, can we just welcome you, Austin, to County Sligo Golf Club? It's great to have you here. You're a huge support to this event and to this club, with the thanks, of course, to the Connolly Motor Group, who are unbelievable sponsors here. But it's great to have you, and I'd like to welcome all of the listeners who are listening live and those who will listen later on the podcast. It's great to have you all here.
Well, it's nice to be here, albeit we're here earlier than usual because Easter is at the end of March. And that presents It's nice to have it so early, but it presents challenges, Kevin Flanagan, doesn't it, in terms of for organisers? And we got a hint of that last night with final qualifying as the light faded. There was a bit of a scramble to secure our final qualifying places last night. Can you, for those who don't know, can you remind what happened last night?
Well, we ended up with 10 players on 5 over with 2 places available. So we had a playoff with 10 players, which is always going to take a long time to break down. And so it proved, I mean, by the time they got to the 3rd tee, it was dark. And it was, with the help of the crowd, they managed to keep it going. Whittle it down to 2 playing the 4th hole, which they played in the dark. The tee area was lit up with phones, the lights from phones. And the greenkeepers had a couple of the buggies with that have lights on the front of them up around the green to show them roughly where the pin was. And yet, the 2 players managed to hit the middle, you know, pretty much the middle of the green.
Right. Has this ever happened before at the West?
No.
Okay.
So they got caught out a bit with light, obviously. I mean, there's other challenges, though, playing the West earlier in the year, as you said. I mean, if we get a frost delay tomorrow morning, it does put us under pressure to get finished. So the field is limited to try and take account of that potentially happening. So if you lose an hour, you still can get finished.
Okay.
Hopefully that won't happen.
It's fair to say, though, Austin, that the players were happy, Kevin, isn't that fair to say, to carry on? It wasn't a situation where they were told you must. The option was given to them. I think it's important. I know there was some comment today. Maybe, Mark, you might mention...
They were given the chance. After they finished the 3rd hole, they were given the choice to come back in the morning to finish the 4th, to play the 4th, or to play it there and then. Both guys, one of the guys was from Dublin, one of the guys was from Mullingar, both of them agreed to play the hole there and then. So there's not a whole lot else Golf Ireland could have done in that situation. Extremely unfortunate for Patrick Kern from Edmundstown was the guy who got through. The name escapes me now.
From Mullingar, yeah.
So, I mean, he was the unfortunate guy who lost out. Hit it, as Kevin mentioned earlier on, hit a great shot, found the green in pitch darkness. Just unfortunately couldn't, he ended up 3 putting. That's, which again, in darkness is completely understandable. So your heart goes out to him.
So, Austin, when they get to the green, they go down with their mobile phones to the ball to try and identify which ball was which. It was that dark.
Wow.
It's also fair to say, by the way, that should someone pull out tomorrow, maybe get an injury in a warm-up, that guy is in. Is he not? He's not. Oh.
Shannon, also a country member here.
Okay.
He's first reserve, so I believe. Is he in?
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Okay, so Dylan Byrne from Carrick and Shannon. If you're a fan of Dylan, we think he's in the main field tomorrow morning.
Yeah, because the reserves worked on... There was 2 qualifying spots. Whoever advanced through the playoff got those 2 qualifying spots. And then for the first alternate, it was going to be the guy who had the best back 9 of all the guys that finished at plus 5. So regardless of how he did in the playoff, which was Dylan, who is since in, we haven't... Not a good enough statistician now to tell you who's next in line there. But
sure. Well, let's remind people listening of some of the local golfers who are in the field tomorrow. 2 local players got through the qualifying yesterday. David Brady, who held the course record here once upon a time, playing out of Strafford in Kildare. You know that golf club, Ben. He got through comfortably. And Derek Basquill, who's a very experienced amateur golfer, Kevin, is in the main draw too.
And Tommy McGowan.
Tommy McGowan, of course.
He's obviously playing out of Westminster, I think it is, in Dublin, but he's from Strandhill.
Okay.
He's back with his dad, Donny, on the bag.
Can I just mention something there, just before I forget? We have to give a big shout-out to Patrick Tuffy from Strandhill. He won the Ulster Boys Under 16 today in incredibly difficult conditions. Part of the winning Under 14 Interpros last year. Had an amazing year last year. This is a huge win with a stacked field. So I think it's important that we mention Patrick's win.
And he's still under 15, I think, isn't he?
He's still under 15. He was under 14 last year, so a real talent.
So a big day for Strandhill Golf Club. Congrats to Patrick Tuffy winning the Ulster Boys Under 16 in Castle Rock Golf Club today. That's a fabulous performance. And if he keeps playing like that, I've no doubt we'll see him on the first tee in a West of Ireland one of these years. Just having a quick glance, Folks, as we like to do on the eve of the West on the timesheet tomorrow morning, I want to give a special mention to three young men in the morning who have to be on the first tee at 6.45. I hope Johnny Hall, Tiernan McLarnon and Lorcan O'Connor have good phone alms for tomorrow a.m.
They're actually here. They're up on the tee. They're taking no chances.
Well, I hope they don't take offence if I'm not here to whisk them off.
We'll forgive you that first three ball, Mark. We'll forgive you.
We'll be open at 6 o'clock, though.
Will you? Good man.
Can I just give you a small interesting fact about one of those players, Tiernan McLarnon? He's a Mazarine, Kevin, am I right? Yeah, he's a fantastic young lad. He actually looked after the Ulster boys in their 16 Interpros last year. But Kevin's son, Sean, when he won the North of Ireland in 2016, beat Tiernan McLarnon in the final. So there's a little bit of a local twist. And whilst the man to my right here will not be here in the morning, Kevin and myself will definitely be here in the morning seeing them off.
Tiernan McLarnon has got pedigree, clearly.
Oh, he's a former international.
He won the Irish Close.
Yeah, he's a class player.
And if I'm right in saying that Tiernan shot the 2 under in the back nine yesterday in the worst of conditions, when everybody else was dropping like a stone, he was moving up. So
he was the best back nine of the day.
Yeah, so I think comfortably, I would say.
Fair to say, class is permanent.
So we've never had a qualifier get past the last 16, I think. So he'd be...
One to keep an eye on. Okay, I'm just looking at the timesheet, guys, and straight away tomorrow morning, your eye is drawn to the three ball at 8:09, comprising the 2021 champion, Hugh Foley, one of the perennial big local hopes, TJ Ford from Ross's Point, and a man who sat where you're sitting 2 years ago, the last time I saw him in the flesh, Belfast Matt McLean from Malone Golf Club. He went off subsequently to play in the Masters. He was beaten in the quarter final, I think, by Hugh Foley here 2 years ago. And he's back after a year's sabbatical because he was competing in Augusta this time last year. Augusta and the West don't clash this year. They did 12 months ago. And you're putting him up, Robbie Fitzpatrick.
Well, you know, he felt he needed to do a bit of work on the psychology of the game. So he asked, is there any chance that I could stay with you, Robert, with yourself and Niamh? And we said, well, okay, go on. No, one of the great traditions, which goes back to my late father back in the day, was putting up a golfer for the West. He put up Michael Byrne stayed with us for many, many years. It's a lovely tradition. Kevin does it. A lot of the locals here in Ross's Point and all around, because you know, obviously the one of the big problems is accommodation. But he's here with his partner Kate, an absolute gentleman, and I'm fascinated. The poor fella is just, his ears are red with all the questions I have for him, because not only did he play in Augusta, he played in the U.S. Open,
LA Country Club, yeah,
and was part of the successful Walker Cup team in St Andrews. He very kindly is going to do a little clinic for some of our juniors tomorrow, which he's looking forward to, for both boys and girls. And we can't have too many, but I've only met him a few times now, but really nice guy. What a quality player!
Yeah,
world number 51, which helps the ranking. Kevin, you might explain that actually. About the Wagger points, by having a player of that high up in the rankings helps the grade of the tournament. You might explain that, Kevin.
Yeah, well, at the end of the tournament, the championship will be graded according to the rankings of the players that have played. So you know, having a player at that higher level will help.
Okay,
we'll get a higher ranking, so the betters will get better points at the end.
Okay, so if you're picking a golfer to beat, guys, is Matt McLean the guy? Would you put him at the top of the tree on morning one, Mark?
I mean, it's a tough question to ask, I suppose. If I had all the answers there, I would be straight into Boyle Sports and I'd be walking away a wealthy man this week, like Robbie was last year, unfortunately, I have to admit.
It didn't bother you when I bought you beer the last night, now, let me tell you.
Hey, I didn't complain. I wasn't complaining. I was just pointing out your savviness to the listeners.
That's
there.
Right.
Look, Matt has to be favoured given, you know, what he's achieved in the last year. But I mean, at the same time, Matt won that US mid amateur event that got him into the the Masters and the US Open and everything by beating Hugh Foley in the final. But but earlier on that year, Hugh had beaten him in the final of the North of Ireland and I believe the South of Ireland, or maybe the semi-final of the South of Ireland.
Okay.
I may not have those exactly correct, but it's something along those lines. So it was a kind of a case of third time lucky for Matt that he beat Hugh in 2022. So, I mean, the margins are so fine between these guys. Particularly when it comes to match play, and particularly this year again when we've got 64 in the match play, realistically anybody can beat anybody. 2 years ago in the Irish Close Championship, Quentin Carew got through as number 64 in the field, went on through to win it. 64th qualifier, went on to win the tournament. That's what can happen in match play. That's part of the reason why it's fantastic for the casual fan, for the viewers, for everybody that's going to come out here this week, that match play is back to a 64 number because of that unpredictability, because of that big upset that's always waiting there in the wings. So Matt's probably the man to beat, but there's plenty of men there who can beat him.
Yeah, and in terms of the local interest, I want to talk about some of the guys who might spring and challenge. And when I say local, I'm including Sligo and Donegal golfers in this from the various local clubs. Obviously, Kevin, TJ Ford, when he's tuned in, you just don't, you know, he's got every chance. Does it help people like TJ that they're playing alongside some of the other fellow contenders at the start? Does that help golfers?
I would think so, yeah. I think they'll drag each other along. They should qualify comfortably. And then the draw depends on where you qualify, of course, these days. But TJ, there's another lad called David Shield who's a member of Enniscrone. He's on the Irish panel.
I was coming to him. Yeah,
he could be a dark horse. I haven't seen much of him play, but he's obviously very good.
Just on David Shield, I mean, the Bridgestone Order of Merit winner. He didn't win a championship last year, but he was incredibly consistent throughout the year. And I remember him being very disappointed. He qualified comfortably here for the final 16 and really fancied the match play, but it didn't happen for him on the day. And I feel he feels he has an unfinished business.
He played Barry Anderson that morning. Yeah, I remember it. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I'd never come across him before.
Yeah,
but he had a great, very strong year.
Yeah, so David lives in Dublin, plays out of Powers Court, but I think his father's originally from Enniscrone, and maybe David spent David grew
all his summers out there. Yeah,
so he's a superb player. As you mentioned, extremely consistent. He didn't win a championship last year, but he did pretty much everything. He's definitely a dark horse. Funny enough, he was one of the first names I was going to look for. I haven't looked up the odds yet. I'm waiting to go home tonight.
I might be able to help you with that. I had a wee look myself. I'll be honest. I had a wee look now.
Do you have a price for David Shield? Because he was a man I was thinking is a serious contender.
Not that we are condoning gambling or anything like that, but I might let you know quite later on. But I think one person to look out for, there's a few people. Barry Anderson obviously does well here. He just loves it. Former winner. Beaten finest last year, played unbelievable golf in the final. But there's one guy, and maybe, you know, Ben, you might talk a little bit about him because I know you know him quite well. Won the mid-amateur last year. Shane Fanning has just joined us over here, and Shane and I regularly discuss this, by the way. But Rory O'Connor has probably one of the best swings in golf. Had a really good year last year, as I say, winning a national title. Loves this place here. Very popular member. Ben, I wouldn't be surprised, would you, if Rory did really well this year?
No, I wouldn't be. I think if it was down to hard work, he'd be up there, because any time I look out the window in the pro shop, he's one of the men that I see quite often out there. And I think in terms of that type of thing, if you deserve it, he works so hard at his game. I always see him here, whether it's his car driving down to the range or he's chipping and putting. I really think he works really hard. I haven't got a chance really to play a lot of golf with him this year, but if it's down to work rate and commitment, he has to be up there, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And one person that you spoke to last year, Austin, was Tommy McGowan. And Tommy was here as a reserve, if I remember correctly, and didn't get in. And I said to him today, I said, it's great this year that you're here. He said, it really hurt him, he said, last year, not getting in. So he did a a lot of work between then and now. And now he's playing in the West, got through the qualifier. He's playing in the West, and that's one happy guy who got to the semi-final. Am I right, Kevin?
Semi-final
previous.
Cutler, yeah.
Quality golfer. You know, well, let's just see. The great thing that we're back to 64, match play is so much fun for your listeners and for us members to have a look at. It's brilliant.
I want to get an opinion from the four of you on this, and I will bring in Shane Flanagan, who's here, joined us here in a few moments as well. For people not familiar with what has happened format-wise for the West, and we'll hear from Tournament Director Enda Lonergan in just a couple of moments. For the past 2 years, organisers trialled a format where it was three rounds of stroke play, and then the top 16 golfers, a pretty brutal cut, got into the final 2 days of match play. This year, we're going back to the way it always was for so many years in County Sligo, two rounds of qualifying stroke play, and then 3 days of match play. The top 64 golfers get into to the match play stages. So, Kevin, are we automatically, do we increase the chances of a surprise winner this year at the West?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. By the way, I'd just throw Joe Lyons' name in as a dark horse, because I met him today and I couldn't get over how well he looks. He won the Spanish seniors there recently.
The Irish seniors close in Strandhill a few months back. Right. So he has his eye in these days.
Yeah. But the traditional format of 64 to qualify just gives more people a chance.
Yeah.
And like last year, despite the fact we had two locals qualify in the last 16, like Rory qualified and obviously Barry, there still wasn't quite the same atmosphere around the place as we'll see on Sunday morning. Yeah, I think.
Let's keep it in the family. Shane Flanagan, you're very welcome. Good to see you again.
And thank you. Just arrived back.
Exactly. Do you think this could be the year of the underdog in the 101st West?
Yeah, like time will tell. We're all delighted here in the club to see it back to 64. It gives the sort of the working man a chance to, when he enters, to give the tournament a run. You're saying names to look out for, the local, like our young Aegon Brady. As you mentioned, he is a fabulous player. Now, you could say he's distracted with the leaving cert this year, but that could be a good thing, because he plays and practices so intensely. He has done since he was a very young child. He's a brilliant man to practice. You'll see him out in the putting green. There's no weakness in his game.
I definitely agree there. Probably over the last year, I've seen Aidan mature a lot from coming into the shop and chatting to him, and he's coming into me of reason saying, back me.
Okay.
Yeah.
The leaving cert's overrated as well, Shane.
It wasn't my day anyway. I didn't take it too seriously.
We haven't mentioned Collie Campbell either.
Yes.
He's South of Ireland champion and has a good record around here. Very good player.
Yeah, I mean, the field, the quality of the field is superb. There are some players that aren't here, but of the players that are here, I mean, there's a serious quality. And if anybody's looking for something to do this weekend and they're not sure, it's like, you will see some of the best golf you can see in your life here happening this weekend. So.
One man who's supposed to be here with us, sorry, Austin, he just, the traffic in McCormick has caught him. He's 45 minutes queuing to Eddie McCormick, 31st or 32nd west of Ireland. You just never know. But one other name, by the way, former North of Ireland winner, we mentioned him earlier on. Don't be one bit surprised. He doesn't have that far to travel to the first tee. Is Kevin's son, Sean, an absolute quality player. Now living in Australia, playing a bit of golf out there. Did some warm winter training out in Australia, so he wouldn't get that round here.
I watched Sean hit a few balls on the range the other night. And, you know, when I look at someone, I'd always appreciate a good golfer. But when I looked at Sean hit balls, he just messing around the range. And he's one person that I looked at and was like, that guy can hit a ball.
Okay, well then, Ben, I'm interested, as assistant pro here at County Sligo Golf Club, and you know every blade of grass on this course, and you know the form guys who are coming in and out of it, what sort of golfer do you think it will take to win the West here? And the big caveat here is the weather can change everything, but let's assume it's not nonsensical weather, that it's manageable weather, that you can still shoot a low-ish score. What sort of golfer do you think, at this time of year, this course might suit?
Well, it's a difficult question, because any time I'm here and I have a day off, plan to play golf, and it could be the worst weather under the sun. So you don't really know what weather you're going to get. I do think it's going to come a lot down to mentality and what mentality you're coming into this with. I think you're going to have to be prepared for whatever this golf course, this side of the world throws at you. And I think you want to go into it thinking, I'm going to win this thing. I don't think you have if personally, if I was going into this tournament, I'd be going in to win and have no other attitude. I think, like, obviously, it's a ball strikers golf course. Obviously, off the back tees, it's going to play long. Kind of from, like, 14 in, it's going to be tough. I don't think throughout the week you'll probably see too many good score, like, brilliant scores coming in there. So I think if anyone can kind of make up, probably in the first 2 days, make up good numbers there, anywhere around level par, I think I would take that personally as a really good incentive going into the next few days, thinking, okay, I'm playing well here. I would judge a lot of my game off them few holes if it's playing into the wind.
Okay, Shane also, and Mark.
Sorry, just one little thing. And it's a shame that we've got away from this, but the qualifier is very important. The first 2 days, what happens now is whoever finishes number one qualifier plays number 64. Right, number two plays 63, and so on down the whole way. But when Kevin was the captain of the Irish team, there was you might tell that story, Kevin, because things have changed since then. The Golf Ireland, our GOI as it was then, along with selectors and managers, kind of it was seeded, Kevin.
Yeah, well, yeah. The Irish team captain had 8, and even sometimes up to 16 seeds. You could pick from the draw, but way back and when I started getting involved, how they did the draw was they threw all the cards on the floor in the old office downstairs, up face down, and you'd pick out two cards and they played each other in the first round. You pick two more cards out, they okay. played each other in the first round.
A bit like an FA Cup third round draw, that.
Yeah, like drawing the balls out of a drum.
Okay.
So, but this way, the RNA have brought in this diktat now that all draws have to be based on the 1-64 format. So that's the way it's going to be going forward, which means that the better you do, maybe the better chance you have of in the first round.
Yeah, okay. Shane Flanagan, two rounds of qualifying stroke play. In your experience watching West after West for so many years, are there certain types of golfers who will just play conservatively, not to try anything too reckless, to try and stay, keep the water above the head, you know, the head above the waterline?
Probably a very easier task, a very experienced West of Ireland player, that question. But I would say that I'd be one of the fellas, I'd have gone out and watched a lot of the qualifying. A lot of people wait to watch the match play. A lot of people say, Kevin, myself, Robbie, who are here, we'd have often gone out to watch the stroke play qualifying. And I would have recalled watching the likes of Rory McIlroy, Shane Lowry back in the day when they would have been playing. And I always felt they were just playing to qualify. Declan Brannigan, who was a magnificent West of Ireland champion, he used the qualifying rounds as his warm-up, really. That's what they were for. He was just so good. He'd arrived down a brief practice on the Thursday, and he was so good that the two stroke play rounds were practice. But most guys would love to win the leading qualifier. Most of them teaming up, I think, would like to lead the qualifying.
Declan Brannigan brings back a memory. I'm old enough that the first West of Ireland winner I remember is Declan Brannigan, 1981. Was he the guy who used to smoke during his round? He'd Absolutely. Throw the cigarette on the fairway, hit a 7-iron to 6 feet, and then pick up the fag and walk in for
And still touch. Does, by the way, and still does.
Right,
okay. He hasn't changed. But I'm going to backtrack slightly here and just say to tune in. It's wonderful for us locals to have a Finnegan in the draw. Thomas Finnegan,
yes.
Great to see him in the draw. And what a swing. Like he came close to qualifying for the British Open. I think it was the last year or the year before. He came very close to qualifying in the British Open. But I think if conditions get tough over the weekend, one man who I've seen in the draw who is he's a beast of a man. He could be on the Irish rugby team. Peter O'Keefe. Fabulous golfer and a pure ball striker. If things get tough, Eddie McCormack and himself would be two of the best, I would have thought, tough condition players that you'll see.
Okay.
And great players.
Collie Campbell,
yeah.
Tough conditions. Yeah. Hinge.
I am going to pick you all. I want you to give me your winner at the end of the programme. You've got about 20 minutes to think about that. Let it churn around in your mind, and I will. And you've got to give me a name, and I want one name. You can't have two. Okay. Bernard Out has his.
Is this a one and done format of if Ben chooses somebody, I can't choose the same guy? Or is that?
No, you can. I'll let you have your own thoughts. You can't pick Rob Fitzpatrick, by the way.
Robert Fitzpatrick all the way.
Correct. This is the final whistle on Ocean FM. It is our Conley Motor Group West of Ireland preview, our fireside chat in the Members Lounge here at County Sligo Golf Club. Play begins the first round of qualifying stroke play tomorrow morning at 6:45 a.m. if you fancy getting up that early. And we will give you some time for some of the notable local three balls. TJ Ford is out at 8:09 with Hugh Foley and Matthew McLean if you want to keep an eye on that one tomorrow, Friday morning. Let's hear from the tournament director, Enda Lonergan, who will be presiding over the next 5 days of golf here at County Sligo Golf Club as he prepares with his team for the 101st West of Ireland.
In amateur circles in Ireland, kind of sets their training schedules, their clocks, their whole lot by Easter and the West of Ireland Championship and that journey to County Sligo Golf Club. To see where their game's at for a lot of people, to set the benchmark for the season ahead, what they need to work on and so forth. And we always have been very fortunate to have strong fields and deliver great winners who've gone on to do even greater things.
And you're reverting to the traditional 64-player match play format from Easter Sunday. Was that a fairly straightforward decision to make in the end?
I don't know if I'd say it was straightforward. Like I probably would like to take the opportunity talking to you to correct a few misnomers that are out there in relation to it. There's a perception out there that Golf Ireland introduced this and then Golf Ireland changed their mind. The Championship Committee at County Sligo Golf Club introduced it because we work in partnership with the host club. And the Championship Committee introduced it for a 2-year period. That was always the plan. And we would, as a committee, review the feedback from the players, from other stakeholders, Golf Ireland itself, County Sligo and its membership, sponsors, etc. And it was with all that information that the Championship Committee then decided that it just wasn't the right fit for the tournament, be it the time of year, etc. And, on that basis, then the committee made the decision to revert back to the traditional format. So just to put that out there and be clear on it, it wasn't any one side of the partnership that made the decision. It was a collective and mutually agreed. There was no discontent on any part, really.
Sure. Well, that's well explained and clear. The one thing you can't control every Easter end, of course, or any of the organising committee, is the weather at County Sligo. It is a feature of the West of Ireland, but you do have contingencies in place to try and cover all eventualities.
Oh, we do, look, and I suppose that starts predominantly with even the size of the field. We've 120 players, we'll go to post tomorrow morning, and in an ideal scenario where you could depend on the weather, we could probably comfortably take 144 or 150. But I'm doing this a long time now. I did my first championship in 2001 and we're now 2024. So you learn as you go and you make mistakes and you learn from them. And we now know that we need a minimum 60-minute daylight contingency built into our field sizes, otherwise we have the potential to not complete rounds or even complete the championship on schedule within the 5 days. So again, I suppose a lot of players can whine a little bit at times about the small field size when Easter is as early as it is now, which obviously impacts their ability to get in. Like, we had a handicap index cut off this year of plus 1.7, which is obviously fantastic. It shows a high calibre of the event. But next year Easter is a couple of weeks later, so we'll probably be back up to 136 or 141 players, and it'll probably drop back down to by half a stroke maybe on the index.
Enda Lonergan, Tournament Director of the Conley Motor Group West of Ireland Championship, which tees off tomorrow morning from 6:45. We'll keep you in touch on Ocean FM with the scoring, the latest round of stroke play Friday and Saturday, and then the last 64 match play tees off on Sunday morning. And Ocean Event Sport will be live from County Sligo Golf Club from 1:30 on Sunday right through until 7 p.m. on FM, and we will begin our online course commentary from the last 64 match play stages on Sunday, and we'll stay with it right through to when the final putt is made on Easter Tuesday, whenever that is made. Now, in the members' lounge here at County Sligo Golf Club, we are surrounded by boarding and hoarding, which displays every single hole, more or less, of County Sligo Golf Club. Aerial views, very picturesque photography, but they outline the proposed changes to the course here at County Sligo. And these changes were passed by the membership of County Sligo Golf Club unanimously on Monday night last at a special meeting here at County Sligo Golf Club. And we're going to tell you a little bit about what's planned here over the coming years at this famous County Sligo Golf Links, because changes are afoot and some interesting ones as well. And to explain what's going to be happening, David Dunn, a noted West of Ireland golfer back in the day, a semi-finalist in 1995, Kevin Flanagan beaten by eventual winner Eamon Brady. We were very close to having an all-county Sligo West of Ireland final. Brendan Cashel's book reminds us that particular year, and he got to the last eight in 1997 as well, I think. So he was at the business end of the West a couple of times. But he is the liaison person at County Sligo Golf Club for the proposed new changes, working with very distinguished golf architects, as you're about to hear from David Dunn, who's been talking to us about what the proposed changes to the County Sligo Golf Links are going to be.
What was agreed was a master plan that was developed by Mackenzie and Ebert, which encompassed the 18 holes in Russell's Point. And the main genesis of it was a review of our bunkers. There was some work on our greens, but in total it was to enhance the playability of the golf course. They looked at a number of things. It wasn't essentially to make it any longer or more difficult, and probably will make it more enjoyable to play. So that was really it. It encompassed 18 holes, and it also included a contingency hole for our 16th, which is currently suffering with coastal erosion, and there may or may not be issues down in the future regarding that. So that was a contingency hole was included in the master plan.
Okay, so if it came to a point that you had to move the 16th par 3, this master plan caters for that?
Correct, yeah. There was an additional hole, and it's been located behind the existing 10th green at Ross's Point. They thought it would be an ideal location and stunning views of Ben Bulbin, and it would be a par 3, probably in similar length to the 16th, and it was provisionally thought that would be an ideal situation or place for it.
We won't go into all the changes here, David, but can you cherry pick a couple of the other alterations that are set to happen at County Sligo?
I suppose one or two of the greens would be altered. The existing fifth green is an exceptionally long green, so that green would be halved in size and brought to the rear where it is now. It'll increase the length of the hole slightly. The 10th green, again, is a green that is currently a little bit larger than the rest of the greens on the golf course, and that will be brought back to its original shape to the front of that green. And there are stunning plans for a new green on the 12th, which would bring it closer to the coastline and would enhance the views slightly behind where the existing green is now. Other than that, most of the work would be bunkers. And really, it was a change of bunker style so that the fairway bunkers would all be rough-edged bunkers and the greenside bunkers would be revetted bunkers. And that just brought a bit of consistency to the overall golf course.
You're starting to scare me now, David, if you're moving the 12th green closer to the water. For those of us who aren't the most accurate of hitters, I'm jesting. To make these changes, you need approval from the County Sligo Golf Club membership. And you got that on Monday night?
We did, Austin, yeah. As per our constitution, any changes to the golf course, whether it be a tee, a bunker, or green, needs to be approved by the members. So as such, the master plan was presented to the members. We had a 10-day period where all the plans were on display in the clubhouse for the members to look at. We had a number of meetings beforehand, and then we had a what we call a special general meeting that was held on Monday night, presented by Martin Ebert, who attended on the night, to present the plans. And after that, there was a vote by the members. And for it to pass, we needed a majority vote, and delighted to say that it was unanimously passed on the night, which was a real ringing endorsement for the plan, and there was a real sense of positivity in the air regarding the plans. So it was a fantastic night for the golf club as well in that regard.
And when will we start to notice changes to the course at County Sligo? David, when do you hope to begin work?
Work will commence probably when the last green fee visitors complete their round. So it'll be literally in probably October time. Any construction work on golf courses, as you know, can only happen in the close season. And you only have a certain number of months to do that. So we would envisage starting in October and a number of months there where we would be able to start some bunker work. And we'd certainly look at possibly work on one or two of the greens, if at all possible. But initially, be a lot of bunker work required. There's actually a reduction, you'd be delighted to know, Austin, on an overall basis, there's a reduction of 12 or 13 bunkers. So I know you're fond of the odd bunker out there. So
music to my ears, yeah. David, music to my ears. And finally, David, on this West of Ireland weekend, it would be remiss of me not to remind people listening to this interview that you came pretty close to winning the West of Ireland back in the day.
I did, yeah. Long time ago, got to the semi-finals. And in true West of Ireland style, it was bad weather most days. My memories of it is getting through to the match play stages, my first two matches. I was never up in any match, either match, until I won on the 19th hole and 20th hole. So my first round and second round matches were kind of matches that were tightly fought, and it just gave me the momentum to get through a few more rounds in the match play. Got to the semi-final and unfortunately was beaten by the eventual winner, Eamon Brady, in a tight enough match. It lost on the 17th. It was a fun day really for the club because we also had Ken Carney in the other semi-final. So a lot of people were getting a bit giddy about the idea of two local men in a final, but unfortunately that didn't happen. But we had two local men in the bar afterwards, quite happy. So it's good.
David Dunn, reminiscing on his West of Ireland semi-final appearance. 1995 was the year. Eamon Brady, the winner, and Ken Carney was beaten in the other semi-final. We were close that year to an old County Sligo Golf Club West of Ireland championship decider. Ben O'Dowd, assistant pro at County Sligo Golf Club. Kevin Flanagan, co-chair of the West of Ireland Championship Committee. Mark McGowan, or McGowan, depending on what part of Ballybuffet you come from Irish Golfer, is here. Robbie Fitzpatrick and Shane Flanagan, who'll be part of our on-course commentary team this Easter Sunday. I hope. I haven't actually asked Shane Flanagan yet, but I'm hoping and crossing my fingers and toes that he will oblige with his customary professionalism again this Easter weekend. Folks, just give us a bit of membership feedback and outsider feedback on the proposed changes to County Sligo. Are people happy with what's planned? Because they are potentially significant enough. Moving the 12th green nearest the water scares the hell out of me, number one. The 16th may in time have to move. We know all about the coastal erosion challenges there for the par 3 in the closing holes, and fewer bunkers, which is good news probably for a good proportion of the membership. Ben, are these changes good in your mind?
Personally, for me, it's more down to the members' opinion on what they think, because at the end of the day, it's a members' golf club and it's a members' golf course. So if they're happy with them, I'm happy with them. From what I've looked at and what I've heard of people coming through my doors, it's a resounding yes. To have people like that involved with your golf club, I think it's just going to boost the profile. So from what I'm looking at and what I've seen, I think it's hard to make this golf course a better golf course, but I think he could succeed in doing that.
Yeah, and Mark McGowan, just for some context, I mean, this is not unusual for golf courses to modify their courses. Like, part of me would think, well, these signature golf links, don't touch them. We come because they have this signature hole looks like this and this bunker is there for that reason. But this is common enough practice on golf courses, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as was mentioned, Mackenzie Ebert have done work on 8 of the 10 Open Championship Rota courses. I mean, these are some of the most famous golf courses in the world, some of the best golf courses in the world, and they're all constantly making changes, constantly improving. It may be, in some cases, it's kind of like restoration work. Maybe things have been done to the course in years which maybe aren't quite, don't quite sit right with like the ethos of a course, or, you know, the people with the best of intentions have made changes that maybe were not ill-advised changes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that can be some work that's done. It can be, like, things change over time as well. Mm-hmm. Golf courses, technology, the golf equipment changes, which means that certain holes don't present the challenge that they once did. So there are tons of different reasons why golf courses need to keep evolving. And in my opinion, the changes that have been proposed and have been unanimously passed here will really take this golf course to the next level. An already superb golf course, but these will make it even better.
And we should remind listeners that Mackenzie and Ebert are to golf architecture and design what the Rolling Stones and U2 are to rock music. They are at the top of their profession. For the members who are here with us tonight, Shane Flanagan, Robbie Fitzpatrick, Kevin Flanagan, are you excited by the proposed alterations?
Well, I think golf has exploded massively since the pandemic in particular, because everyone's kind of allowed out again. This part of Ireland, in my opinion, is untapped to a degree. When our visitors from, say, the States or wherever, invariably they go to the South and in the Peninsula and Kerry or whatever else. We have to up our game massively now. And in order to kind of, you know, you mentioned the Rolling Stones. Why are the Rolling Stones, why are you two still at the top of the game? Because they reinvent themselves. That's why. We've reinvented ourselves. We've moved to the times. The northwest of Ireland is a place where if you come to County Sligo Golf Club or any of the courses in and around here, you're coming to a true Lynx classic. And that's what this is. And I've had the privilege, as a lot of people at this table have, had the privilege of playing the top courses in this country. And I'm sorry, I have to say, I can put my shoulders back and I can say to anybody, come here to County Sligo Golf Club, play a round of golf now and in the next couple of years, because the changes are not massive changes, Austin. It's going to be an even more enjoyable experience for the golfer coming here. The fairways are going to be slightly widened. And any time any golf architect ever says to any golfer of my handicap, I'm taking out a bunker, he's my best friend.
Yeah, and for the hackers listening, the drain is still going to be there in front of the 7th green, and when the wind is blowing against you on the 17th tee, you're going to be looking and taking a deep breath. Those things won't change, whatever happens over the next few years. Let's hear from a man who wanted to be here this year but can't be here this year. He won the Conley Motor Group West of Ireland Championship 12 months ago. In monsoon weather conditions, he played like he was in shorts and a t-shirt at times. The quality of his golf was that high. James Claridge, talented Englishman, just a sixth overseas winner of the West of Ireland, and he won it pretty emphatically 12 months ago. He's been talking to Ocean FM Sport on the eve of the 2024 West of Ireland.
I wish I could come over, but unfortunately I can't come and defend the Conley West of Ireland this year, but yeah, I wish everyone that's playing, you know, good luck. I know the format's different this year, and hopefully the weather is a lot, lot better than it was last year. But yeah, it's a shame I can't be there.
Well, you enjoyed the bad weather 12 months ago, given the golf you played at County Sligo. Are the memories of that win still vivid in your mind?
Yeah, I can remember pretty much every second of the trip from start to finish to the first.
What's been happening golf-wise for James Claridge since we last spoke to you 12 months ago?
The golf's been good. I mean, I had a really good season last year. Played most of it with an injury that not many people knew about, and then ended up having to sit out for roughly 12 weeks. And then kind of started this year poorly compared to last year after, you know, hardly finishing outside the top 20 and being consistent and winning twice. But no, I seem to be back to where I was last year. So, and this is the same time of year last year that I found form. So hopefully try and replicate the same thing.
And looking at the new format, it's more match play focused here in Sligo this weekend. Is that something that, if your schedule suited you, would attract you?
Yeah, definitely. I think last year's format was a lot different to this year. You know, this year being 64 and two-stroke play instead of three-stroke play and 16. I think it definitely favours players this year, as, you know, you could be 64th in the stroke play and still pick up the title, whereas last year, you know, you could be 17th and not even have a sniff. So I think the players will be looking forward to it more this year maybe than last year, as it's a bit simpler to say to win the trophy. But I mean, you know, the odds are the lads that are at the top of the stroke play after two rounds are probably going to be the favourites to win. But you know what match play is like, anyone can beat anyone, and you know, you've only got to beat the man that's in front of you and you're through to the next round.
Well, this is true. Well, who knows, James, we might entice you back to the northwest of Ireland in the not-too-distant future. The RNA Amateur Championship is coming to Donegal in June, and before that, the Flowgas Irish Amateur Open, so you might have some of your Irish friends trying to entice you over.
Yeah, we've got there's an England match against France that same week, so it's not looking like I'm going to be able to come over and play, which is a shame, because you know, I love County Sligo, the town, the course, got good memories there. But I mean, if things go a slightly different way, then my face may be around the clubhouse and at the tournament, but we'll have to see.
James Claridge, last year's Conley Motor Group West of Ireland winner, speaking to us earlier this evening. The question to finish this preview tonight: who's going to be this year's Conley Motor Group West of Ireland champion come Easter Tuesday afternoon? I have five men who are going to have a stab at it. Who wants to go first? Don't all rush at once.
I'd like to go last. If that's
Ben is going to go last. He got in first. So, Kevin Flanagan.
Well, I share my son's dreams and TJ Ford's dreams and Rory O'Connor's dreams, and I hope that we have a local winner. But I think Matthew McLean's going to be very hard to beat.
Okay, one for Matt McLean. Mark McGann.
Right, I'm going to go for the reigning South of Ireland champion, Colin Campbell.
In one sentence, why?
I think, despite what they got today, the practice round was pretty benign. There was a lot of people out there saying, "Oh, this is lovely. This and this kind of like thinking maybe this isn't that hard." I think the weekend will prove a different story. It's going to be tough conditions. And I think there's not many men better for the tough conditions than Colin Campbell.
Okay, Robbie Fitzpatrick, we've got 90 seconds left. I want to give you 30, I want to give Shane Flanagan 30, and I want to give Ben O'Dowd 30. Off you go.
I want Robert Fitzpatrick to win from Nace. Former, you know, Johnny Yates was there. Hard to see past Matt McLean. Hugh Foley, one to look out for. Nail the colours to the mast. I'm going to go with TJ Ford.
TJ Ford, a first local nomination. Shane Flanagan.
In 30 seconds, answer the impossible question on a Thursday. That group of Hugh Foley, TJ Ford and Matt McLean, it's a very good chance the winner of the West will come out of that group. However, I'm going to go for an outsider who I haven't mentioned earlier, but Keith Egan from Carton House. Fabulous golfer. I'll give him as my outside bet.
Okay. Ben O'Dowd, finish us, surprise us.
So I have one outside bet for you, a Scottish guy who's coming over to play. His name's Andrew Benson. I think he might go on a run this week.
His grandfather from Swinford. Dad is from Swinford.
I think Colin Smith, who plays out here, I think he's practicing a lot. I think he could give it a very good chance. He might sneak into the
Colin Smith.
64. He plays a lot of golf. He's originally from Longford. But
played for Longford.
10 seconds, guys. We got to go. Longford, we got to go.
So my vote is going to TJ Ford. I don't think it shows him any advantage. I think it's a disadvantage being from Sligo and playing here. But I think he'll win it.
TJ Ford. TJ Ford got two votes in the end. That's our lot. We are out of time, folks. The West will be followed across the Ocean FM Sport output all Easter weekend. We'll be live from 1:30 to 7:00 this Sunday afternoon. And we'll bring you live on-course commentary of the match play stages. Thanks to Ben, Kevin, Shane, Robbie and Mark McGowan, who is a member of County Sligo Golf Club. We'll see you over the Easter weekend. Good night.